Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Getting you closer to rugby with Irish Independent Park. Epic stories start here.
Good evening, folks. You're very welcome along to the Big Red Bench. Coming up tonight, we'll hear from JBM on the return of Brian Murphy to his panel.
We watched Brian playing for his club, Ryde Rovers. He was very, very good in that game. So I was delighted he exceeded his request to come back into the panel.
We'll go live to a wet and windy Irish Open on a mixed day for the Irish.
Tough in these conditions to keep hitting good shots, because you really are using a lot of creativity and a lot of manufacture.
And we speak to Ireland and Liverpool legend Ronnie Whelan about Italia 90.
The Italy game stands out for me in the fact that I thought the referee robbed us.
Yeah.
You know, even though I'm disappointed I'm not playing, you're so disappointed when you see the performance of the referee.
That's all to come between now and 7 on the Bigger Bench, and tons more besides as well. It's wet and windy here in Cork this evening, and it is wet and windy at the Irish Open, where we go to Nick Dye of the European Tour. And Nick, it's pretty miserable for the golfers out there.
Well, the wet element is only just starting, thankfully, for most observers today, and we've had bumper crowds once again. You'll know it's a sellout for the whole week. Most have stayed dry. You just have to have several layers of clothing on. And the wind's changed direction today, so essentially you're thinking, oh, I've been here getting soaked to the skin over the last 2 days. This is a lot easier. And you've seen a new course record, a 65 from Max Kiefer. You think, yeah, it's a little bit easier. But then the golfers come in and tell you, well, the wind's actually cutting from there. It's doing this. It's a very difficult golf course. And still, it's still that same scenario of players battling against the elements and holding on to their scores when possible.
Yeah, a huge change from last year's Irish Open, with a beautiful sunshine for 4 days.
That was glorious. Can we come to Photo Island again?
Please do. So Nick, it proved moving day today. We started the action off, and there were 6 players tied for the lead, and so much change at the top of the leaderboard today.
Well, yes and no. It's still many of those 6 players, and you started the day with only that elite bettering par across the tournament, and it's still pretty much that, because we've only got 11 players in the red figures over 3 days. But we have a breakaway leader in the shape of Søren Kjeldsen, who is familiar on the European Tour because he's a 3-times winner. But the last of those victories came some 6 years ago. And here, I mean, he's got that Viking look again about him. The stubble is allowing to grow. He looks weathered. And he's relishing it. He's really loving getting his teeth into this. And he had 6 birdies by the time the 13th came around. Sadly, he bogeyed the last 2, but he's taking that on the chin. It's around a 67. It's 7 under par. And Kelson's 2 strokes clear of Max Kiefer, I mentioned, with a new course record, 65. Rafa Cabrera Bello, who's much more used to the conditions of Gran Canaria and going surfing. Here, he showed us just how many layers of clothing he's got on. It was take this zip down, then the next one, then another. There's the snood that covers the whole of his face and just leaves the eyes showing, and he's there at 5 under par. There's those few others in contention, the likes of Luke Donald, for instance, a former world number one. But you'll know that I'm not mentioning Padraig Harrington there.
Well, that's maybe where, I mean, moving day in the wrong direction, certainly.
Sadly, he really got off to, well, it was steady initially, then he dropped a shot, then he dropped another, and then when the double bogey came at the 8th hole, sadly, he fell away to a round of 78, which didn't really see him coming, because he looked very much in his element over the 2 previous days. Again, he'll accept it. It's Lynx Golf. He's not a huge distance back, but it's 5 over. He's not going to be winning from there.
Talk to us about Rory McIlroy, Nick, and his 2 rounds, I suppose. It's been a tough week for him. He's had a tough couple of weeks, actually, since that win a few weeks back.
Absolutely. And the first round here, a round of 80, when he had hopes pretty high and were thinking that after missing the cut in Wentworth, there was the silver lining. But he came here early. He was in his own bed. He could practice that a little bit. He could relax. But he is the host of, I mean, the full title of it is the Dubai Duty Free Irish Open, hosted by the Rory Foundation. And so he feels that there's an onus on him. He won't use that as an excuse. He just played badly, essentially. But others have spoken on his behalf as well, that when you're in that host position, you do get pulled this way and that, and the preparation probably wasn't ideal. And after missing the cut here, which sadly is the third year in succession at his National Open that he's not around for the weekend. He did reflect that, look, this is five in a row. It's not ideal. I'm told that they're looking very much at the Irish Open moving position on the calendar once again for next season. That might work in his favour, but it's one of those weekends where, because his name's on the event, he's going to be here tomorrow, but probably only to shake a few hands on the final green and give a prize to somebody who's done a lot better than he has.
As regards the other Irish players, Nick, just a word on Shane Lowry today. I finished with a 71 after a 74 yesterday and breaking his putter.
It means so much to him, inevitably. And given the form that he showed at Wentworth, he was effectively one of the favourites coming into this. He won his Irish Open just down the coast at Baltrae. He loves playing in these kind of conditions by and large, as much as anybody can love playing in the winds and the rain and the cold. But he got incredibly frustrating with the way the putter just wasn't working for him at just the third hole of his second round. That then met an untimely end, and he used his lob wedge from then on. But he used it in good effect, and hence he was smiling a fair bit, and he was happy to take things and answer all the questions at the end yesterday, albeit that it wasn't good enough to keep him nicely placed on the leaderboard. And his round of 71 isn't by any means today. It's just that he's too far back.
I think we've all gotten frustrated with our putters at one stage or another, so we can all relate to that. And Nick, thanks very much for talking to us. Enjoy the final day tomorrow.
Will do.
That's Nick Dye there of the European Tour, talking to us live from Royal County Down, where it's been not a great week, as we've been hearing, for the Irish golfers. Patrick Harrington was our last hope today, but a disastrous round from him today, as Nick was saying. Conditions not ideal up there compared to the tropical weather we had at Foda last year.
Oh, we like to reminisce,
that was
don't we?
Yeah, that was popping up in my my Time Hop app. Do you know that app you can get on your phone? It shows you all the stuff last year and shows you all the photos. Like, oh.
Yeah, it's a brilliant week, absolutely brilliant. But the competition overall is better this year, isn't it? Mick Whelan led from start to finish last year, and we kind of knew very early in the final day how things were going to go, whereas there's a bit of movement this year and it's probably a better competition.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of it now, to be perfectly honest. Looking forward to watching a bit of it tomorrow, but just when you see the golfers like wearing gloves and all their waterproofs are on, you can kind of think to yourself, they can't be enjoying this.
Ah, well, the scenery is fantastic up there, but those winds have to be ruining it, yeah.
Alrighty then, we have a competition on our show tonight. It's Jumping in the City Horse Sport Ireland. We have tickets to give away to Jumping in the City at Corraheen Park Greyhounds Stadium for Friday, June the 12th. For the first time, Corraheen Park Greyhounds Stadium will be transformed into a show jumping arena to welcome world class Irish show jumpers and their horses to Cork for one night only on Friday, June 12th. The Jumping in the City series has partnered with Special Olympics Ireland. Those attending the event will have the opportunity to support equestrian athletes representing Ireland at the Special Olympic World Games this summer. For further information, see www.horsesportireland.ie. It'll be a great night. The underwriting exchange, Jumping in the City series, top show jumping riders and horses coming to take on the Big Red Wall, plus top percussion act Extreme Rhythm. So it's going to be a cracking night. We have a pair of tickets to give away. Just text your name and your full address, please, to 086 8104 106. That's 086 8104 106, and we could be sending you to Jumping in the City at Corraheen Park Greyhound Stadium on Friday, June 12th. Right, going to hear from Jimmy Barry Murphy, because the Cork Senior Hurlers Championship preparations given a major boost this week ahead of their Munster semi-final against Waterford tomorrow week. Management announced the return of Brian Murphy to the panel. Our reporter Mark Dynan has spoken to JBM about his return and gets an injury update ahead of the rematch against the Dacia.
Yeah, we're delighted with Brian's return. Obviously with Lorcan McLaughlin's injury and Christopher Joyce on radio, we were under severe pressure at the back line, and we watched Brian playing for his club Red Rovers. He was very, very good in that game, so I was delighted he exceeded our request to come back into the panel.
And when did you approach him about coming back?
We approached him pretty soon after the Red Rovers game and asked him to consider it, because we felt that we needed cover, and the fact he was in such good form. I mean, if he hadn't played well, he was in good form, he wouldn't play himself, but he was in great form, and we were delighted he said he'd come back.
And he's like a natural fitness as well, doesn't he?
Well, he's a very fit lad. He keeps himself in great condition. And I think he can be a huge asset to the panel.
And is he in contention to start now, or will he ease him back in?
Oh, yeah, everyone's on the panel as a contention to start. He definitely is in contention to start, so I'm, we'll see what the team know in the next 2 days, but he's in contention.
And in terms of injuries, Jimmy, how's Lachlan McLaughlin? How soon do you think you'll have him back?
Yeah, Lachlan is doing a bit of training already. We would hope that if we get to the muster fine, that he might be available for that.
And Seamus Hardy?
Seamus Hardy is a bit of a worry. His injury is slightly taking longer than we were hoping, but again, we're hoping that he'll be available for selection.
And Alan Cadigan?
Alan Cadigan is fine. He trained very well this morning on Saturday morning. He's great form and should be fine for the match.
And apart from that, any other worries?
No, all fine. No other injuries. Hopefully they're all cleared up and we hope we'll be okay.
And do you see, Jimmy, I suppose, not to go into too much detail, but do you see a lot of maybe positional switches in your side?
We'll see. We haven't the team pitch yet. We'll decide on where we can feel we can improve and decide on what kind of tactical game we'll play on the day.
And Jimmy, do you expect a backlash after the league final?
Well, I certainly hope there will be backlash from Cork and Hill. I'm not so sure about Waterford, but we're determined that you will see a different Cork team with a different approach in Thurles. The way we played last day in the league final wasn't acceptable. It wasn't an acceptable performance from a Cork team either in the spirit we showed or the tactics we tried to play, so we're all holding our hands up saying we're responsible for that, and I'd hate to be part of a Cork panel that would go out and play that way again, and I certainly hope you don't see that.
That's JBM there speaking to Mark Dynan about injuries and looking ahead to the Waterford game. And there's been a goal at Wembley. Arsenal have gone a goal up against Aston Villa. Theo Walcott with a lovely left-footed volley, putting a pass Shea given 42 minutes on the clock. It's Arsenal 1, Aston Villa 0, and that has been coming. Arsenal have been by far the better team so far in this game. Aston Villa have been quite not up to much, and Jack Grealish has had a very poor game considering how good a game he had against Liverpool in the semi-final. He's been poor enough today, but still plenty of time for Aston Villa to get back into it. Arsenal 1, Aston Villa 0 is the latest score there. Alright, we're going to talk football now. We'll be talking to Ronnie Whelan a little bit later on in the show about his memories of Italian 90, so we'll be playing that a little bit later on. Just in the FAI Cup, Cove Ramblers are beaten today in their game by 3-0 away to Colchester United in the second round. So disappointment for them, a big shock there. And Cork City winning 2-0 last night against Wexford Utes. Billy Denny and Mark O'Sullivan with the goals there. Meanwhile, this week Cork City's John Kavanagh receiving a call up to Noel King's Ireland under 21 squad for their games against England this week. And I spoke to him about getting the news.
Just at home, really. Yeah. Just after training yesterday, so just having a bit of lunch, and I got the call in. So
yeah, no one called you, was it?
No, it was somebody from the club. Right. Let me know. So I think they got an email or something. So that's the usual procedure. So delighted, obviously.
Were you expecting it?
To be honest, no. It's not something I thought about. All along, I've just been concentrating on doing well here and trying to do my best to stay in the team. You know. So no, I wasn't expecting it, but I'm delighted it's happened, and see you, Johnner.
I suppose it's a real validation of how well you've been playing, and as a whole, how Cork City have been playing.
Exactly, yeah. Like, you know, I think last year, obviously, Brian Lenihan got called into the 21s as well, and just shows when a Cork team is doing well that players get the recognition and stuff, so I think that's down to the team as well, you know. But delighted with that as well. You know, there's a lot of big names, and there's a poster up in the gym, you know. It's Kevin Doyle, Shane Long, and David Moyler, you know. It's
picture, yeah.
Yeah, it's producing Irish internationals since 1984, I think, so no, it's great for the club, and gets recognition, which is great.
Yeah, we were saying that obviously this is going to put you even more in the shop window in terms of one or two cross-channel clubs, because there's been one or two skulls already over at matches in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's, you're going to hear them things anyway, but
but that's an ambition of yours, is to get the chance to go, isn't it?
I suppose it would be, you know, any kind of young footballer in this league, that's their ambition. You know, it's kind of the place to be, really, I suppose, England. Like, but I say I can just keep doing my best and hopefully stay in the team, and hopefully I get something out of that, but at the moment I'm just focusing on Cork City.
That's John Kavanagh there speaking about his call up to the Ireland under 21 squad early in the week. Certainly very, very well deserved. He's been the most consistent player for Cork City, I think, this season. I think he's been absolutely brilliant. Mm-hmm. Reminds me a lot of Brian Lenihan. I think that comparison is very easy to make, and it's a valid one as well. Both right backs, both get forward, and both highly sought after. And I reckon it's only a matter of time. And we heard Noel's plan talking about it there, about heading across the water,
putting
them
in the shop window.
Putting in the shop window. So I reckon it's only a matter of time.
Well, that would, of course, be bad news for Cork City, but it's a massive boost for John. Best luck to him. They're playing England Monday and Friday, I believe.
Excellent. More good news actually for Cork footballers, with Glasgow City FC announcing the signing of Douglas Winclair to their books yesterday. The international striker, who was contracted to Raheny United, has had limited playing time over the last year, having suffered a broken leg twice. It hasn't hampered her progress, though. Lisa has spoken to Claire about how the move to Scotland came about.
Well, it started about 2 weeks ago. Well, actually about 3 weeks ago, maybe, and myself and another girl went over for a 10-day kind of a trial thing, but I only got home on Tuesday, so that was when I made my final decision, and I was talking to my parents and things, and I'm off today. I'm actually at the airport now, ready to board in about half an hour.
Oh, deadly. All right, so like the trial obviously went very well. What happened over there, while, you know, on the trial period?
Well, we trained every day apart from one day, and we had a game against the boys team, so it was really, really tough, but I'm excited to get into the routine of things and get into the schedule, and I think it'll be good for me.
A very impressive setup over there, Claire.
Yeah, it's much higher standard, and like all the players that are playing with Glasgow City, I think like 8 of them are playing with Scotland, and sure, Denise is over there as well. Yeah. So look forward to getting involved.
So when it came to sitting down and making that decision, did it take long?
No, I grabbed the opportunity as it came.
Yeah, well, like it's brilliant news, especially given your recent history with injuries, Claire.
Yeah, well, I had a really, really tough year with my leg. It didn't set right the first time, and went again then in September, and I'm only back since, I think it's the 5th of March I started training again, so I've had a tough 3 months doing all my rehab and things, but I'm back to fitness now. I just have a few things to improve on, and hopefully everything goes well.
Good stuff. Well, it's a sign of your strength and your quality to hear the city head coach, Eddie Wilecki, Black, talking about, you know, how your quality hasn't been, you know, you haven't been affected by the such injuries, you know?
Yeah, well, I tried not to let it affect me, really, because, it was more kind of a mental thing to going into a challenge and another tough challenge. But I overcame that anyway in the last 3 months. And I've no doubts about it anymore. Anyway, it's back to 100%, so hopefully it stays away forever.
Good stuff. Yeah, absolutely. God, you've suffered enough, and obviously your international football has continued under Sue Ronan and the whole lot, but you must feel like this is a great opportunity now to play at a high standard and improve your form ahead of international commitments.
Yeah, well, playing at a high level and playing day in, day out is certainly going to improve me as a player, and I think this is what I need to get myself into the senior squad for September for the European qualifiers. So hopefully now everything goes well, and Sue realises that.
Mm. And you've mentioned obviously Denise O'Sullivan is over there already, and you know it's the club have been very, very successful. We've spoken to Denise on several occasions about her success over there as well. So you know the fact that you know someone going over, I imagine, makes it even better.
Yeah, so much better. I got a warm welcome anyway from them, and all the girls are lovely, and the management and the staff and things. But having Denise there, another Cork head, as I should say, another Cork accent, is brilliant.
Great stuff. And, you know, as you head over, Claire, have you any immediate goals, or, you know, how will you approach the whole thing?
Well, I'm going to take it day by day anyway and just get into a routine. It's going to be tough at the start for the first few weeks, but I know that. And, just to kind of break myself into the squad and be competing and letting it go by me easy, and I'm just going to take the chance when I can.
Great stuff. Claire, congratulations, and the very best of luck.
Thanks a million.
That's Claire Shine there, the Douglas woman signing for Glasgow City FC. Very, very exciting stuff for her, and we wish her the very best of luck indeed. Half time in the cup final, Arsenal leading Aston Villa by 1-0, and 10 minutes before the Pro 12 final kicks off as well at the Kingspan Stadium, Munster versus Glasgow. Munster looking for their first title since 2011.
Mm-hmm, I do believe so. No news of team changes or anything like that. The big news and the big talk online at the moment from Belfast is Paul O'Connell coming onto the pitch, getting an unbelievable welcome in what is probably his final game for Munster.
When he's heading off to Toulon for a couple of years, as we heard David Corkery on last weekend's show saying that he'd be getting huge money to go over there. So you can't deny him, although I saw a tweet suggesting that as a ginger bald man in the south of France, he's going to spend all that money on sun cream.
Waterford Whispers actually did an excellent article on it as well. It's brilliant.
That's what I thought. Yeah, it was fantastic. But yeah, best of luck to him, and fingers crossed Munster can get the job done. 6:30 is the kickoff time for that game. Right, going to switch back to GAA and the Cork Minor Hurlers Championship campaign, suffering a major blow this week with the news that captain Shane Kingston suffered a season ending leg injury. We spoke into minor boss Dennis Ring about the loss of the Douglas clubman.
Absolutely. Look, we're devastated, first of all for Shane, because, you know, he's captain of the team and he's obviously a very significant leader for us, and he's an exceptional talent and so on. And I suppose our thoughts and our concerns at the moment is just that Shane, that he recovers from the injury and has a good rehabilitation and you know, overcomes this. And I've no doubt he will, because he's a superb talent and he's a brilliant temperament, and I think he'll come back stronger mentally and tougher as a result of this, I think. He's a fantastic young fella, and you know, you don't like any young fella to miss out on the opportunity of captaining Cork Minors for the season, you know.
No, absolutely not. And tell me, Dennis, it was sustained during a challenge match with yourselves, I understand, against Clare.
Yeah, it was on Wednesday night. It was an unfortunate accident. There was no contact or anything like that. It was just in a turn, moving from one direction to the other. Just a freakish accident and to the a fracture. So nobody's to blame. It was just one of these things. It just happened, and you know, we're obviously all very disappointed. For Shane.
And how is Shane himself?
Look, he's a fantastic young fella. He's an exceptional, like, you know, we were up with him there last night, and he's, you know, he's positive in terms of, you know, he sees things in context, and you know, I suppose the big thing we'd all be concerned for him and so on is just to make sure that he makes a speedy recovery and he gets back to doing what he does best, which is terrorising defences, to be honest with you. He's a brilliant player. He scored 1-9 for us in the first match against Limerick, and will be a huge loss for us up in the Gaelic grounds. And, you know, I know it probably tilts things a little bit in favour of Limerick at this particular point in time. And the fact that they played us in Parky Ring, you know, we beat them, but meanwhile they've had a 2 or 3 week clear preparation for the match against Waterford, which they won in convincing fashion, and good uninterrupted preparation for that for them. And now I suppose the fact that they have us at home, and you know, to have lost our captain and so on, it certainly turns things a little bit in their advantage, you know. But look, these are challenges that are put in everybody's way, and the team and everybody now just basically responds and rallies around and takes on that challenge, you know, which we look forward to.
And I imagine you'll look for the group to, you know, do their extra bit for Shane as well, and try and make up the loss he is.
Yeah, I'm sure Shane's biggest concern really is, you know, he wants to be at training and he wants to be there in a supportive capacity to the lads, and you know, he'd be a good guy to speak with the lads as well, you know. And all Shane wants now is for the team to go on and win, and which would be typical of Shane. Like, he's a very unselfish young fella. He's a team player, and his concern now is that everybody just gets on with the job of preparing for the next 5 weeks for the Munster Championship semi-final.
Fair play to him. He'll still play a captain's role in that sense. And otherwise, Dennis, then, how has training and everything been going in preparation for the Limerick semi-final and the rematch?
Well, I suppose, to be honest, the last couple of weeks has been very disruptive, really, I suppose, because you have a lot of championship matches going on. You'd over a couple of different weekends, you had between Premier and Intermediate and Senior, and Junior Championship matches, you had a whole lot of things going on. So it was a bit disjointed, I suppose, to a certain extent in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, we're hoping now to get a good run for the next few weeks in advance of backdoor games, which will again be, I suppose, a bit of difficulty for us, you know. But you'd be hoping Phyllis to clear of injury, and at the same time, you're hoping to get Phyllis together as much as possible. And it is hard to get them all together, and it is hard to work with them as a cohesive group from that perspective. And, you know, we try to do the best we can in that score, and any opportunities we get, we have our regular training slots, but to ensure that we have everybody can oftentimes be difficult due to a range of club commitments. And obviously we also have the leaving certificate to contend with now as well. We've 9 involved in the leaving, and you have to be kind of careful in terms of how you manage that as well, in terms of how much preparation those guys and how much commitment that they can give you during those examinations. So there's a lot of things really that you have to juggle around in terms of preparing for it. It's a lot easier preparing for a first round for amongst the semi-final in the immediate aftermath of a leaving certificate. There's a lot of variables involved, so it's about trying to manage that situation as best as you possibly can. In a lot of instances, there's a lot of personalised kind of training and individual work that has to go on in the background with individual guys to try and get everybody to full match fitness for when it matters, you know. And, you know, we hope, I suppose, you know, we were delighted with the support we got from the Cork public in Sidon Park Ewing for the first game. And, you know, it really gave a great buzz to the lads, and it really did push them on that night after a poor start, and they really hurled impressively after that. It'd be great to think that you know, the Cork public would travel to the Gaelic grounds and give these lads, who are putting in huge work and really serious about their preparation, and particularly now, you know, our backs are against the wall a little bit, to be fantastic to see this team getting the support it deserves up in the Gaelic grounds.
Indeed, people have plenty of time to put that on the diary. That's July 1st up at the Gaelic grounds. It's a Wednesday night, so indeed we'll hope that there's good Cork support. For now, best of luck with the management of all those variables in your preparation, Dennis. And to Shane, we wish him the speedy recovery. He deserves a great young player, a loss, but the best of luck to you in your preparations for that semi-final. Thanks for speaking to us.
Thanks very much, Lisa.
Yeah, so fingers crossed Shane Kingston will get right back fully fit as soon as possible. That's Dennis Ring there, Cork minor hurler boss. Speaking of wanting support for the lads, they're heading up to Limerick on July 1st.
Yeah, well, so, you see, the victory over Limerick in the opening round was massive in Páirc Uaireann. Like, it was a really big deal. They very, very strong win, and Shane Kingston contributed 1-9 that night. He was unbelievable, and that's why it's the loss. He's going to be going up to Limerick for what is a rematch, like, and Limerick will be very, very hungry for revenge that night. So what Dennis is looking for is the Cork support to head on up the road and play their bit and be that 16th man, as they call it.
Yeah, certainly so, certainly so. So hopefully the Cork hurlers will get big support on the night. Half time at Wembley. Lawrence Moore is there for us today.
The whistle's gone. It's half time. It's Arsenal 1, Aston Villa 0. And like a boxer being pummeled by his opponent, Villa have hung on for dear life this half. Given saving from Koscielny, Richardson blocking when Walcott looked certain to score, all until the 39th minute when Walcott latched onto Sanchez's header and lashed the ball beyond Given. It's the least Arsenal deserve, to be fair. Villa's ball retention has just not been good enough, and they face a massive task in the second half. At halftime, Arsenal 1, Villa 0.
And the action just about to get underway at the Kingspan Stadium. Munster taking on Glasgow. We'll keep you up to date on that one. Right, still to come, we are going to talk to Ireland and Liverpool legend Ronnie Whelan about Italia 90 and dodgy referees.
The Italy game stands out for me in the fact that I thought the referee robbed us.
Yeah.
You know, even though I'm disappointed I'm not playing, you're so disappointed when you see the performance of the referee.
The Big Red Bench.
Getting you closer to rugby with Irish Independent Park. Epic stories start here.
Red FM.
Very welcome back to the Big Red Bench. Munster and Glasgow has kicked off. 3 minutes on the clock. And who is that with that magnificent beard?
I read your mind just there, because I said Rory O'Hagan definitely has beard envy. I don't know the chap's name, actually.
You know I enjoy a good beard, like. I've got to find that out.
It's a bit much now, in fairness.
It's one of the most glorious things I've ever seen, ever. I'm not even exaggerating. It's like...
It's too long.
It's glorious. Absolutely glorious.
It's too long. Anyway, as regards the rugby monster on the attack now, Duncan Williams has just taken the ball into Maul and Paul O'Connell, BJ Botha. Yeah, okay, not going to do live commentary, but yeah, monster on the attack.
If anybody knows who owns that beard, give us a shout on the Big Red Bench Twitter at Big Red Bench, or you can text us as well, 0868104106. Now, for the first time, Cork Greyhound Stadium in Cunningham Park is set to be transformed into a show jumping arena to welcome world class Irish show jumpers and their horse to Cork for one night only on Friday 12th June. The Jumping in the City series has partnered with Special Olympics Ireland, and those attending the event will have the opportunity to support equestrian athletes representing Ireland at the Special Olympic World Games this summer. Now, for more information, you can see horsesportireland.ie. So it'll be a top class night at the Underwriting Exchange Jumping in the City series, Cunningham Park Greyhound Stadium on June 12th. Top show jumping riders and horses coming to take on the Big Red Wall, and top percussion act Extreme Rhythm will perform on the night as well. We have a pair of tickets to give away to the event, so all you have to do is text us your name and your full address, please, to 086 8104106, and we will draw the winner at the end of the show. We'll have another pair of tickets to give away on tomorrow's show. Second half underway at Wembley. Arsenal leading Aston Villa by a goal 2-0, 48 minutes on the clock there. Now, earlier on in the week, I got a chance to speak to Ireland and Liverpool legend Ronnie Whelan. Ronnie will be part of the Republic of Ireland Masters team that will take on the Crosshaven Legends team for Natalia 90 25th anniversary game, 25 years, wow. That's taking place in Crosshaven on Saturday, August 1st. And for more details, you can go to crosshavenafc.com. We here at Cork.fm are media partners to the event. So I got a chance to sit down with a lovely fella, absolute hero, I have to say, and I asked him about his memories of the World Cup in 90.
Yeah, I was 14 in that tournament, I was. No, it doesn't seem like 25 years, does it? But it's all it's all still there. I can still see a lot of what happened, although I didn't get much playing time, but we had a great time there.
For people of my generation as well, it's the reason why I'm such a big football fan as well, and I imagine that's a similar story up and down the country.
Yeah, you go back to 88 and 90, and it seemed to be the beginning of an awful lot of people wanting to watch football, wanting to watch Irish football, believing in Irish football, that we were going the right way with Jack. So, yeah, a lot of people talk about how good the times were then. I think we all enjoyed them.
Yeah, certainly did. What was it that, like, heading into Italia 90, like, you had the mood of a country behind you and stuff. Were you aware of what was going on at home when you were over there playing?
Yeah, we learned that from 88. You know, when they showed the streets were empty in 88, we knew it was going to happen again in 90. All the time we were over there, people were bringing newspapers out. The longer we stayed in the tournament, it was getting building more and more and more. And it was just a great squad of players to be involved with. They were all friends with each other. We got on really, really well. I think it was probably only myself and Frank Stapleton who were the only two that weren't really happy because we weren't getting enough playing time. So we weren't too happy with Jack on that one. But no, it was just... it was a brilliant squad to be involved in. The 88-90 squads were great to be involved in.
What do you remember of the games themselves from Italian 90?
That I wasn't playing. Probably the second was at Egypt when I was at Dower, 0-0, when Dunphy went a bit berserk and threw the pen and all that, yeah. You start to think then that we're not going to go through, but the lads kept at it and we got through the group. I remember coming on against Holland. That was probably the highlight of my World Cup that year. I'd waited all my life to play in the World Cup and got 20 minutes, half an hour. It was just great to be involved, as I say. The Italy game stands out for me in the fact that I thought the referee robbed us.
Yeah.
You know, even though I'm disappointed I'm not playing, you're so disappointed when you see the performance of the referee. And I think if you look back on it, some of the decisions were absolutely terrible.
Like favouring the home team, was it?
You don't want to say. You can't go, oh, he's a cheater, he get money for everything. But there was a lot of decisions that did go the Italian way. And I learned this later on when I went into management in Greece and Cyprus, that when you're up against the top teams, at the end of the game, you will notice that the free kicks given for you and them will probably be the same. Mm. It'll just be the areas the free kicks are given in. You get a free kick outside your own box. Mm. They get a free kick outside your box as well. Yeah. So it was just, it was a lot of that in the Italy game.
Yeah. Actually, just on that Holland game, it kind of played out to a draw in the end. And did you have a chat with each other, with the Dutch, to say, look, lads, we won't go at each other because if it stays the same way?
There was a little bit said. We knew that the result, what was happening in the England game, was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was sort of a look and a nod. And but what happened was they could still ping the ball about and pass it to each other.
Yeah.
We were going from full-back back to the goalkeeper, centre-back back to the goalkeeper, and they were saying sort of, you have to try and play as if we're playing a game here.
Because
they
could do it. Pass as well, because Packy was just picking it up.
Yeah, picking it up and then launching it. But they were trying to say, you have to play some football, like make it look like you're trying to win the game. So, but they could do it. We weren't really capable of it.
Yeah. Fantastic stuff. The game against Romania is one of my favourite sporting memories because of Packy's save and all that. But where were you when Big Dave stepped up to take the last penalty? Were you watching through your eyes?
Yeah, no, I was, again, I was on the bench. but I'm sure I was looking at it, although I don't think I'd sprinted off too quick, because when you see the aftermath of the goal or the save from Packy, everybody runs on, and it's sort of finishing off. Everybody run on when I sort of come into the picture. So I was either too slow or I just wasn't aware of what was going on. But it's such a relief to get to a quarter final of a World Cup, and then you're still thinking I'll be able to play. A great achievement to get there.
Incredible, yeah.
But Aldo as well was just been, he was going to get substituted. Aldo, a funny story as well, and Aldo decided to have a whack at Hadji because he was the best player, not realising that he could have been sent off rather than substituted. And he come off and he went, oh, I could have been sent off there, couldn't I?
Yeah. And George Hamilton's commentary as well, a nation holder spread, it's really iconic moment, isn't it?
Yeah, working with George now. Actually, we were talking about that recently, and I think he was telling us, he said, the nation, I think.
Yeah.
We were questioning what his words were, so it might.
I thought it was a nation.
Well,
we'll go
back and have a look at it, and I think he got it out and he put it up, and it was the nation holds its breath. I think.
And speaking of RT, you're famed for your analysis. What is about RT's coverage that you all get right? You think?
That we're allowed to have an opinion. When I went into RT, you don't know what you're doing. You know, you go on and you're frightened to say something, and then one of the bosses pulled me and he said, "Listen, just treat it as if you're in the pub with your mates. If he has an opinion that you don't agree with, tell them." And you see from somebody in studio, some of the stuff that goes on can get a bit near the knuckle with the lads having a go at each other. But it's all friends after him. We have a laugh about it. But it is just like being in the pub with your mates. If you have an opinion that he doesn't agree with, well, let's get it out, but it's going out live on TV, which makes it a bit different.
And Bill O'Hurley, of course, a Cork man, legend down these parts. What was it that Bill got right, and what was it that he did to encourage you and kind of provoke this debate?
Bill was great at throwing little bombs into the middle and then just sitting back and watching it explode. And he loved all that, Bill. There was one time we were in studio and he wasn't too well. He had the flu or something. And during the first half of the game, he wasn't saying an awful lot. And we come back after a break, but we went into a break, sorry, and Bill just turned to us at half-time, went, "Listen, all I'm going to say is that wasn't a good half, lads, was it?" And yeah, he said, "You're going to have to keep speaking for 15 minutes while we're there." Well, probably only about 10 minutes. Yeah. So Bill, right enough, come back and he goes, "That wasn't a good half, was it, lads?" And the camera panned over to us and Bill just sat there for the 10 minutes that we gabbed on about the game, how bad it was. Yeah. But he knew how to do it, Bill. He was great. I just throw little snippets in and pulling pieces of paper out for Dunphy, who wanted Terry Venables as manager because he's a great tactician. And Bill goes with this piece of paper from 10 years ago. "You said he's a thief, a liar, a bad coach 10 years ago." And that just hits it. You know, you don't expect it to come out.
Yeah. The legend that is Ronnie Whelan there speaking to me during the week. He'll be part of the Ireland Masters team that will take on the Crosshaven Legends team for an Italian 90 25th anniversary game that's taking place in Crosshaven on Saturday, August 1st. That we're media partners to the event. Really, really looking forward to that one. As he said there, he's going to try and get Niall Quinn to come up as well and play. So it'll be really, really good. More details as well, crosshavenafc.com. Bill O'Hurley, he popped up in the course of that interview. And quite sadly, just as we ended that interview, we heard the news that Bill had passed away.
I couldn't believe it on Monday. It's very sad.
Very sad.
I think, like, we've all grown up with Bill O'Hurley, you see, and, like, he represents, like, Irish football to me anyway, and, like, Irish football is so synonymous with him. It's, it was one of those, like, I didn't know the man, but I felt like I did, and I kind of, genuinely was a bit upset about it.
The whole country as well, I think. Like, the stories that we've heard, and Ronnie contributed one there, the stories that we've heard all week have been lovely. But I think for me, terribly sad to hear this news on Monday. It was shocking, an untimely death. But for me, I was delighted that, in a way, that he retired before his untimely death, because he got an opportunity to see just how well appreciated he was by the Irish public. Because there was serious well wishes last year for him when he retired from RTE. So it's nice that, you know, because that often happens for people like him in death, that you hear all these nice stories, but he got to see them last year. So that's one thing, that's one saving grace, I suppose.
He interviewed my grandfather, actually, at the start of his RTE career. My grandfather was a referee, he was going off refereeing international matches, and Bill came down to interview him. So my granddad loves talking about the fact that, you know, Bill O'Hurley interviewed him once at the start of his career. Fantastic.
Yeah. It's been really interesting to hear about his long career as well, because, you know, as you said, we know him as the RTE sports anchor, but his career down here in Cork and everything, and that interview with Neil Prendeville that he did a few weeks ago, really interesting.
Yeah, you can get that interview with Bill O'Hurley that Neil did. Really, really interesting stuff from Neil as well. You can get that on our website, redfm.ie. Bad news for Munster.
Yeah. Absolutely tore through Munster's defence to cross for that try. Took down Paul O'Connell in the process as well. Didn't think it was possible, and they've converted it. So that was just after the 9 minute mark. So 14 minutes gone now. Glasgow continue to lead Munster 7 points to no score.
And Arsenal have gone 2 goals up on Aston Villa. Lawrence Mora.
It's now Arsenal 2, Aston Villa 0, and what a goal it was as well. A fantastic ball up into Alexis Sanchez, about 30 yards out from goal. He checked, looked around him, see if there was a little pass on. There was nothing on for the Chilean, so he took aim and fired an absolute rip snorter past Jay Given in the Villa goal, and Arsenal lead 2-0.
I don't think I've ever heard a goal described as a rip snorter.
A rip snorter.
But that's what Lawrence just said. A rip snorter of a goal.
I don't understand it. Screamer. It was a screamer anyway. I'm going with that one.
No, I'm going with rip snorter. Okay. All right. We'll hopefully hear from Lawrence before the end of the show again. But an hour on the clock. It's 2-0 to the Arsenal, and Glasgow 7-0 up on Munster with 15 minutes on the clock there. Now, Cork ladies footballer Roisin Phelan picked up the March Award at the South City and District Sports Award at the Cork International Hotel this week. The Ahada Club woman was honoured for her contribution to Cork's league success, as well as displays with Cork's under-21s and UCC ladies football team in the O'Connor Cup earlier this year. The awards are also sponsored by Gerald McCarthy Gifts in association with ourselves here at Cork's Red FM, when we got a chance to chat to Roisin on winning her award and the thrilling league final win.
Close matches. We've had a couple of those at Galway this year, so hopefully we can keep it up for championship. Obviously it was a great win by a point, so the replayed matches did great good for both of us, I think, so it's really championship pace in it, so bodes well for the future for us, I suppose.
And like, how have things changed now in these couple of weeks, because you're obviously preparing for championship at this stage?
We took a week off there now, so we're coming back now tomorrow, and it's a straight run, seven weeks I think to championship, so it'll be a tough slog, but that's what you need to do to get there, I suppose, get the fitness up.
And you were in with the under-21s the weekend, I assume?
The under-21 campaign has started, so that's for the next couple of weeks every weekend, so we beat Galway at the weekend, so now we're going away to Meath and Dublin for the next 2 weeks. So offers a little bit of a different challenge.
Well, does it offer a challenge at all? Because we saw the full-time score, was it 7-29 or something, to 2 points against Galway, which would surprise many, I think, given the way the seniors went and the underage success that's been in Galway.
It was a surprise result. We weren't expecting it, and they have a good cup there. The Wards weren't there, they were doing their leaving cert and such, so I think they'll be back later on in the year, and obviously they have more players in the minors panel. As you saw for the last couple of years, their minor teams have been very strong, I feel that they'll be there. We can only play what's put in front of us, so we have to just drive on from here now and just next week to Meath and Dublin. So
And your own form obviously lately has been excellent, and that's part of the reason why you picked up this award here at the Cork International Hotel today. So you must be delighted with how things are going for yourself personally.
Yeah, I am delighted, but as such, like, as in these things don't come about unless you have a team that supports you. So I'd just like to thank the ladies football team, and I accept this award on behalf of them. So
what do you be do you do much outside of your collective training, rushing on your own game?
I do, like, there's not an awful lot of time between, like, that we've trained two or three times a week at Cork and then your club training and all the rest. So club training will probably be the time that I get to work on my own skill set. Mm-hmm. So, you know, catching, kicking, all the rest. So just building up your basic skills, really. Yeah. Don't really have much time for anything else.
And obviously acknowledged here today as well was your contribution at UCC level, you know, college level, and the O'Connor Cup, and didn't go to plan for you this year either, but I mean, you've enjoyed some fantastic performances with them and some great games.
UCC has really brought on my game a lot, as you saw today. Like, Christine O'Donovan was there, and the support they give us and the services they provide really help bring on players. It's kind of like the UCC team and other teams like it have a lot of inter-county players, and the way that they gel and really push each other on, like, really helps players build their game, and that's really the where my base level came from. That UCC really helped me this year and last year to make the senior team.
So the focus is probably on under-21s at the moment. You know, you've a couple of matches coming up over the next couple of weekends, but in terms of the senior squad, like, the league final success must, it always is a springboard for you, I'm sure, but preparing for championship is a year to go.
Oh, I can't wait to start championship, yeah, as in everyone wants, like, that's why people play. That's just, like, the league is a great stepping stone and helps to build a team and build friendships and all the rest, but championship is where you really cement that, and we're really looking forward to getting going, I suppose. We've been waiting since January to get here, so thankfully we're just around the corner from it.
Yeah. And finally, congratulations on your award, the Southside and District Sports Award, monthly award here at the Cork International Hotel today, and, you know, another individual recognition of your contributions and your achievements over the last while.
Yeah, it's great. Look, as in, obviously, like I said before, like, the Cork ladies football team have a lot to contribute, and I'm just accepting this as a player on that team. I was chosen individually, but that doesn't mean that the team didn't contribute to that, so I'd like to thank them. But yeah, it's great to get awards like this. It's a great day out, kind of recognise the family and all the support structures they have around you, so I'd just like to thank all of them.
The Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM, and that is Roisin Phelan there speaking to Lisa after picking up the March Award for the South City and District Sports Award at Cork International Hotel this week, sponsored by John McCarthy Gifts and ourselves here at Cork's Red FM. Going from bad to worse for Aston Villa. They now trail Arsenal by 3-0 per Mertesacker with the third, Theo Walcott and Alexis Sanchez with the other goals for the Gunners. So this looks like it is going to be a walk in the park for the Gunners, and Aston Villa just haven't turned up. They've been dreadfully poor today, but Arsenal take nothing away from them, looking very, very good indeed. And coming up in 20 minutes gone in the Kingspan Stadium, and Munster still trailing Glasgow by 7 points to nil, but still early doors there.
Yeah, when Keith Earls is after saving Munster's blushes for a few minutes anyway, he denied a Glasgow player the opportunity to cross for a try, forcing him into touch. So they went to the TMO, but no, Keith Earls, some good defending there.
Excellent stuff. Right, Greg Kalash de Vera AG were the March winners of the North City and District Award. The school received the award at the Gresham Metropole Hotel, who are the award's main sponsors along with ourselves here at Cork's Red FM. Their principal, Donal O'Bukala, explains the different achievements that saw his school pick up the award.
Thanks, Lisa. We've had a very successful year over the last year. I suppose there is a very strong emphasis on sport in the school, as there always has been on the North Monastery campus, but we had a particular success in hurling and basketball this year. We had a number of firsts achieved by the school. We had our under-16 A team won the county title, which was first in 30 years. They gave a great performance against Middleton just back in January in very trying conditions, but succeeded in bringing a first title to the school. We also had our first Munster title, where our under-15 team beat Abbey CBS from Tipperary Town in thrilling fashion in Fermoy 4 weeks ago. And again, it was a tremendous display of courage and skill. And, you know, we're very hopeful that these teams will continue the promise that our Harty Cup team showed this year. We had great promise in the Harty Cup, and our team did us very proud when they were very unlucky to lose in the quarterfinal by a point to Thurles CBS, a team that went on to win the competition outright. And I suppose it was a... a wonderful testament to that team. That one member of the team was selected to play for Cork, for the Cork senior team, which is a tremendous achievement. Dane Lee, he went on to play in the Waterford Crystal Cup and scored a goal in the Jamie Wall match, which was a great thrill for the other members of the team to see him, you know, as a role model for them, going forward. In basketball, we were also extremely successful. We've had a great basketball program over the last number of years, with many pupils being honoured at international level. But our teams this year really excelled. We had both our boys and girls teams played in All-Ireland semi-finals, with our boys very unlucky to lose both semi-finals to Summerhills from Sligo in very very close fashion. But our girls got to the final and were unlucky to go under to Leixlip. Our under 14 A team then also got to the All-Ireland final, but unfortunately ran St. Malachy's of Belfast close. But finally, 2 weeks ago, our second year boys achieved an All-Ireland victory when they won the second year title against Castle Island. And amongst those teams, we've had a number of players recognised at local level on the Cork regional team, but we also had two students named on the 12 for the European Championships this summer. Blake O'Maracu and then Adam O'Drumma was also named, but was also bestowed the honour of captaining the team, so we're tremendously proud of that. We also have Louise Niscannell named on the European Championship girls team, so we've a wonderful talent amongst those teams, and it's great that they're getting recognition at international level. But it's great for the school that they're also bringing titles home. I mean, we've focus a lot on participation throughout all of the different age groups, but it's nice to see that they can excel at a high level as well.
That's Gwag Coláist, Vera Principal, Donal O'Buchla. They were named the March winners of the North City and District Award at the Gresham Metropole Hotel earlier on in the week. Almost out of time, just want to pick out our competition winner, a pair of tickets for the Jumping in the City event, which is happening at Corraghan Park Greyhound Stadium on Friday, June 12th. The winner, Lisa, is
Clodagh Maloney from Clonakilty.
And you get more details on that event at horsesportireland.ie, and we will have more tickets to give away on tomorrow evening's show. That is it from us. Almost just going to get you up to date on the matches that are happening. Arsenal still leading Aston Villa by 3-0. The next 22 minutes will be a formality, but a bit of work for Munster to do. They're up against it, Lise.
They are indeed. 22 minutes played in Belfast, and it's Glasgow leading 7 points to no score. Keith Earls unlucky not to cross for a try there in the last couple of minutes, but Munster are driving on here now with trying to drive them all, so, or the scrum we should say, and yeah, they're back on the attack, but yeah, a bit of ground to make up. Alright,
fingers crossed we'll be reporting on a Munster win on tomorrow evening's show. That's it from us. Stevie's up next with the Block Party. Talk to you tomorrow at 6.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie.
Getting you closer to rugby with Irish Independent Park. Epic stories start here.
Red FM.